Welcome to Not Enough Champagne, a podcast that wishes it had 800,000 listeners to lose. My name's Corey Hazelhurst, and my partner in propaganda is Steve Haynes.
Hey, Corey.
I'll tell you who does have 800,000 listeners to lose, Steve. That's the Today programme on Radio 4.
Oh, really?
So they've gone from 7.8 million listeners to 7 million listeners in 1 year.
Ooh.
Mm. What we're going to be talking about today is that because the way that the BBC reports news needs to change, and how can it deal with the issue of balance more effectively? Well, we look, the problem with the Today programme in particular is John Humphreys, who in many ways I think is the Phil Wallace of radio broadcasters. What with joking about how much salary he's got to hand over to Kerry Gracie, or saying that the MP's sexual assault scandal was a witch hunt and that it might mean that MPs can't date their assistants, or questioning Joanna Conta's citizenship, or the, shall we say, generous interviews he gives to leavers compared to those he gives to remainers.
Yeah.
All of which are issues. And it's, I mean, John Humphreys is almost a symbol of a part of the BBC that is kept on TV too long or radio too long past their prime and kind of needs to go.
Humphreys is probably the root cause of a lot of the problems that the Today programme in particular is having. He's one of the big names, and you can't get rid of the big names. The big names are what people are interested in hearing from. And it's like, no, we just want to hear the news. As long as we're actually getting a fair and reasonable discussion, we don't really care too much who's doing the news or who's reading the news headlines, or indeed who's leading the interviews.
As long as it's not John Humphreys mansplaining fashion to the editor of Vogue.
Yeah.
That would be nice. But the general editorship of Sarah Sands, as well as coming for some criticism, Sands, of course, was editor, I think, of the Daily Telegraph. I believe the Evening Standard as well. While it was a position that they gave to actual journalists to edit the Standard rather than just random MPs.
Yeah. And I think you can see her background coming through in a lot of the choices that have been made when we start talking about the Today programme. They do seem to be leaning more towards, oh, we'll have a bit more climate deniers on here. We'll bring on Rahim Kassan, Breitbart editor, editor in the UK, to talk about Tommy Robinson and then not challenge them. You know, you see all of these kind of more right-wing figures being brought on under the editorship of somebody who was involved at the Daily Telegraph and the Standard, both of which are right-wing papers.
I think there's an element of that, and certainly, especially on a lot of the kind of Corbynista wing that sees the BBC as being very biased against Labour and Jeremy in particular, a lot is made of the fact that she goes to dinners with Rupert Murdoch and this kind of thing. I think the other thing that the Sands editorship of the Today programme has done is there's been much more segments on things like fashion and lifestyle, kind of softer topics like that, as opposed to hard news as well, which hasn't helped. But I think you're right that one of the things is there have been the people like Rahim Kassam have been on and not challenged, I think, is the key thing. On Newsnight, actually, Emily Maitlis was quite good at attacking Sean Spicer, who was over here to promote his memoirs, and was quite good at trying to ask him difficult questions, most of which, obviously, being Sean Spicer, he didn't answer, but at least
there was an attempt there.
Indeed.
John Humphrey's style is one which is a bit old school, I suppose, and that comes across a lot of it in his attitudes. This is a man who is clearly clearly conservative with a little c, if not voting for the Conservative Party. I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. You can be a very effective political journalist or a very effective journalist and still be, you know, a conservative, or even be involved or a member of the Conservative Party.
Good example of that maybe is Andrew Neil, who gets a lot of stick from a lot of the Labour Party because he has quite obviously right-wing views. On the other hand, is quite an effective political interviewer of politicians, whatever ilk they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And when he's on screen doing his job, he doesn't show those biases. He doesn't show his political views off, and that's that's the important thing, really, for someone in his position. The notion that he might actually have opinions outside of his work is fine.
I think you see it on the flip side, someone like John Simpson, who often tweets quite anti-Brexit stuff and quite progressively left-wing stuff, but then on his reporting is quite balanced. And I think actually, like, this is often seized on either by the left or the right as examples of being biased BBC, but actually in some ways it's nice that those biases are out in the open. You can't really, it's better to do that than to try and pretend to be objective when you're not. But then, as you say, when you're doing your interviewing or doing your reporting, you can be even-handed. You don't have to slant one way or the other.
Yeah,
as
long as you don't give one group an easy ride compared to everybody else, what your opinions are doesn't necessarily matter when you're doing the job of the interviewer. And that's where John Humphreys on the Today programme really lets the side down, because his choice of language just reveals so many biases. So, for instance, he will refer to unashamed Remainers. It's like, I'm sorry, why is being a Remainer something to be ashamed of? He will, as you alluded to, like, try and mansplain fashion to the editor of Vogue magazine. Like, he just treats people with contempt when they're on the show, because he, as the almighty John Humphreys, who has been doing this job for decades now, clearly knows what he's talking about, even though he clearly also hasn't done the research.
Some of the worst bits of... I do still listen to the Today programme in the morning, because...
So do I.
I'm a mad creature of habit. Oh, have you started?
I have started now. Yeah. I was listening to Absolute Radio, but they changed DJs and I didn't really like the new DJ for the morning slot, so...
Can we move John Humphreys to Absolute Radio?
No.
I think I might try and start a petition. Or maybe a Twitter hashtag. That's apparently how you get social change enacted nowadays. When John Humphreys is trying to talk about an issue that he doesn't really know, and he's kind of making it obvious that he doesn't know, it's almost like a point of pride that he doesn't know, and it's just genuinely quite embarrassing and hard to listen to.
Yeah,
there is a problem, as we've alluded to, and indeed as we've talked about on previous podcasts, more with a kind of Brexit prism, but the problem of how you try and put across balance and how you talk about things in a balanced way on the radio. And in fact, it's not just the BBC that's been guilty of this recently. Noted media outlet This Morning on ITV have had a little bit of a balance problem recently, because there was a poll that came out that said 52% of people believe that the moon landings were hoaxed. Now, we're not lazy joke makers here, we're not enough champagne, but that 52% of people, you can write the punchline yourselves, can't you? This Morning, in response to that, had a debate on their show.
That is a strong word.
Had a discussion.
No.
Crap throwing free for all between a scientist on one hand who believes in the moon landings and someone else who said the moon landings were hoaxed. Feels like something the day to day would have done. There's a problem of balance there when you're having two sides try and debate something that's obviously true.
Yeah, I mean, it is an almost farcical example, this, but it actually does serve to demonstrate the point quite well. Because if you swap out the moon landings with climate change, and suddenly you actually have a very accurate description of the way that, you know, the BBC and parts of the media will cover a very important and technical issue. They will often bring in a climate scientist to talk about whatever the latest research predictions or reports are, and then they will swap over to Lord Lawson, who has no expertise, no scientific knowledge, no real reason to be on there at all, other than to say, no, I don't believe this. And because there is a small but loud group of individuals who say, no, this is wrong, we disagree, the BBC has gotten into its head that balance means that you have to have two sides on the issue, even if one side is clearly, completely, and utterly wrong.
Well, and Gavin Esler wrote something for the New European relatively recently in which he talks about the Lord Lawson example. Essentially says, well, you wouldn't want Nigel Lawson to be your dentist just after reading a couple of books about teeth. So why has he got this platform to talk about climate change despite the fact that he has very little expertise in the issue? It's a great way of looking even-handed while actually giving a false equivalence, especially on climate change, especially on the moon landings as well. I mean, with the moon landings, I think it's pretty obvious that it's nonsense. But again, well, probably one of the reasons why you've got a survey with more than half of people saying that moon landings are hoax is because of discussions like the one they have on this morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is not just a This Morning thing or a BBC thing. It does seem to be prevalent over a lot of media outlets.
And it's not just in the UK as well. You can see similar things happening in the US.
Mm. And Rupert Reid, who is one of the leading Green politicians, he put out a tweet recently saying that he'd refused to appear on a news show. He didn't say it on the channel, I don't think, to talk about climate change because he was going to be speaking alongside someone who denied climate change. And he didn't want that false equivalence to be there, refused to give them a platform. And I wonder if we will see more things like that, almost politicians or campaigners or activists trying to shame TV shows and news programmes into trying to give into not giving those kind of false equivalence balanced views.
Yeah, I find that I can totally see where Rupert Reid is coming from. And, you know, on a short-term basis, I'm absolutely certain that it probably did screw up their plans and they probably might not have been able to find somebody on short notice to come on and present the other side of the debate and therefore offer a balanced, quote-unquote, view on climate change or the environment. But long term, you know, you'll always be able to find somebody. There's always someone who's willing to be a talking head. There's always somebody who wants to make a name for themselves. And, you know, being a talking head on for the media is a very effective way of doing that. So I'm not necessarily sure that's going to be a very valid tactic in the medium to long term to actually get them to change their ways. Honestly, I think what's required is to look at the founding missions of those institutions. Because, like, the BBC was founded in the 1920s purely for radio. And it has a broad mission, which, you know, informing the nation is a part of that. And as part of that, it's supposed to be unbiased. But the thing is, the definition of unbiased has been not even necessarily corrupted. It's just the context has changed and just being unbiased isn't good enough anymore. Back in the 20s, where you could have a Liberal politician, a Labour politician and a Conservative politician one after the other talking about whatever the issue of the day was, no one's, you know, they may be spinning, they may be like not telling the entire truth, but they aren't telling outright lies. You know, you're not going to have individuals who are running their mouth off as in the same way that Lord Lawson does on climate change, not being experts on the issue. The desperate need to fill time as the demands for the format have changed means you bring on more of these things just to keep things going, just to keep things listening, to keep people engaged and to get a reaction, which hampers that founding idea of unbiased and means that it isn't relevant anymore because being unbiased isn't actually informing the audience. So what I would say for the BBC and public service broadcasting is that we would need to shift that focus away from talking about, you know, just being an unbiased source of information, but focusing on just being an institution dedicated to the truth in some form. Because here's the thing, doesn't matter whether you're left-wing or right-wing, some of your views are just wrong. You know, the evidence does not back them up and is not going to back you up on 100% of everything you believe. And as a result of that, I think an institution like the BBC's job should be basically to, you know, in terms of public discourse and debate, get on the leaders of the various parties or politicians or various groups, scrutinise them and then say, no, this is where you're wrong. Rather than trying to present two sides as though they're roughly equal, where if you have a BBC which is dedicated to unraveling the truth of the matter, rather than focusing on presenting balance, you will get much better reporting.
I think that's interesting. I do also think there's a lot to unpack there. I think you're right to identify the need to fill time as being a lot of the main drivers of this kind of thing. I'm not so sure if that meant that... you seem to be suggesting the 1920s and 30s were an era of great probity among MPs. I'm not quite sure that's true.
No, but it's more the fact that you wouldn't get the same level of outright... excuse the language, bullshittery from them to the same degree that you would these days. You wouldn't get Lord Lawson being invited on to talk about a topic that he wasn't an expert in. The people who would be being invited on would be the MPs who are relevant for that discussion or whatever, which is roughly where we should be today, but we don't have those experts or people who are at least involved in the debate properly coming on. We just have some randomer, basically.
The problem in terms of if you're going to try and set the BBC up as this sort of arbiter of truth. I think there's a good reasons for it. There's actually an interesting thread by a former BBC journalist saying that the reporting the BBC does often is very, very good. This particular reporter was in Iraq, and the BBC was one of the few places to keep reporters on the ground for the entire British occupation of Iraq. And some of the stuff that the BBC is doing is really good in terms of the stuff around the Brexit cast and the analyses of the fine details of Brexit. Very, very good.
And if you delve into pretty much any kind of niche area or topic, the BBC will have something on there somewhere which you can actually get your teeth into. And it will often be very detailed and a very good explainer, an explanation of what's going on and what the implications are.
And I suppose a lot of the problem then are either the armchair programmes, a bit like the Daily Politics, where yes, there's Andrew Neil who does quite good interviews, as we've said, but you do often have this kind of two talking heads. Or programmes like Question Time, where Nigel Farage goes on for the 43rd time or something. And indeed the guests they have on the Today programme as well, as we've talked about. But the issue is that in terms of getting a lot of reporters would involve a lot of money, and that's money the BBC does not necessarily have at the moment. And I think the other problem in terms of if you identify the nature of truth, one of the big problems that we haven't really talked about on this podcast that we have on others is the nature of echo chamber, is that there isn't necessarily a truth anymore, is that people essentially are able to, through confirmation bias, search out and find those views that they agree with. The BBC, in many ways, even now, even for all its flaws now, is the thing that is stopping a more Fox News type organisation happening in the country. And you do have, I think it's almost inevitable that you're going to have a public service broadcaster accused by both sides of being biased, to be honest, as part of a victim mentality.
Yeah, and that is always going to be the case. I mean, in a lot of times, actually, if you're being accused of bias by both sides, you're probably doing something right somewhere along the way. Mm. But there is a difference between bias in the terms of, just as an example, let's use that Question Time with Nigel Farage appearing on there a lot, disproportionately appearing on Question Time compared to a lot of other people who are a lot more senior, a lot more relevant, and actually have, you know, more interesting things and relevant things to say on the topics of the day. But because he was only really the only person that UKIP could ever seem to put up at any given point, and the BBC were desperate to make sure they were representing that strain of thought, which is valid, but they overdid it.
But valid because the way... and I believe I'm right in saying this, the way in which they calculate how much airtime do we give each particular party was done at a time when UKIP were doing really, really well in the polls. And so, for instance, they're eligible for party political broadcasts because they got a certain amount of vote. Whereas someone like, say,
the Greens,
not eligible for that. And even now, the Lib Dems post-wipeout also aren't eligible for a lot of more time than they were either. And so it hurts their side as well.
Yeah, one of Tim Montgomery's favourite pastimes is kind of ragging on Robert Peston's TV show. He thinks it's biased against Brexit because they keep on bringing on, having shows where they've just got no Brexiteers on there at all. No Brexiteers at all, it's all Remainers. And on those individual shows, yeah, that may very well be the case. But over the course of a series, over the course of a period of time, actually you have roughly 50-50 presence when it comes to that sort of stuff. Now, there is a bit of an issue then in terms of, again, this goes back to the definition of what balance is. It does balance mean in that snapshot? So you, every time you discuss something, you have to have that alternative view? Or does balance mean can you be balanced over a longer period of time? You could have, for instance, to my mind, a series of interviews that the BBC would do on, say, the Today programme, where on, say, Monday, they interviewed a Tory Remainer. Tuesday, they interviewed a Labour Remainer. Wednesday, they interviewed a Tory Brexiteer. And on Thursday, they interviewed a Labour Brexiteer. That would be balanced to me. And I think the BBC would view that as balance as well. You've got Leave and Remain for both Labour and the Conservatives represented during that week, during all of those interviews. So everybody is actually covered. But in each individual segment, you've only got one view being given. So is that balanced or is that unbalanced? And that is a genuine question of that would need to be addressed when you focus on balance.
But again, even that feels to me like an example of false equivalence, because you talk about Labour Remainers, Labour Leavers. Well, the amount of Labour Leave rebels we've got is, what, 4?
Yeah.
And actually the amount of Labour members who are Leavers themselves is very, very small. So even giving that platform seems to me not balanced. Your whole fallacy is wrong.
Well, no, because this is my point. You can't be balanced, because every way you look at it and every way you cut it, you're going to be unbalanced in some way, whether you're looking at it as the snapshot, because you're only talking to one person or one person in some way, or you're potentially giving false equivalency to two points of views at, whether it be in that one snapshot or over a longer period of time. There is no way to be balanced. So why are we focusing on balance as the be-all and end-all? Because it's not. Facts are what we should be focusing on.
I suppose because it's a very easy three-card trick, isn't it? Andrew Neil is on the BBC. Andrew Neil is right-wing. Therefore, the BBC is right-wing. There's a very kind of useful rhetorical device there. Same, so John Snow is left wing, John Snow is Channel 4, is on Channel 4 News, therefore Channel 4 News, it has a left wing bias. And it's just very, very easy to do. And I think especially when we're in a, what feels to me like a pretty paranoid period of British politics, where, is it Enoch Powell, I think, unfortunately, who says that complaining about the media in politics is a bit like complaining about the weather. It feels like both sides are quite paranoid. Both sides have a little bit of, to be honest, a little bit of a victim mentality, mm-hmm. and do, I think, want to try and portray themselves as being the victims of
shadowy forces who are down trying to squash them in some form.
Yeah, indeed.
Like Labour, to use them as an example, how everybody, the media's biased against Jeremy Corbyn, the establishment is biased against Jeremy Corbyn. On the right, obviously, the establishment is biased against Brexit. You know, it's always the establishment's fault that
they're being biased against. Usually Tory MPs who are literally the establishment talking about the establishment in shadowy forces.
Yeah. Balance has become a scapegoat. It has become a way for people to avoid scrutiny, which, again, is why I lean towards the notion that balance should be ignored. Balance should not be something that we can should try and aim for. What we need to aim for is truth. In this age where fake news can travel so far, so very, very quickly, and especially when you have situations where basically social media platforms are not taking the problem seriously enough and are not acting strongly enough to deal with a lot of the actual instigators of much of the crap that exists online and influences people, you need something that can do that. And I think a public service broadcaster is the perfect institution to do that. But the BBC can't do that when it is focused on balance.
What we were going to try from September is to make sure more of our podcasts are unbalanced. So heaven knows what kind of listening it'll be for you dear listeners. But we'll see how we go. In the meantime, if you want to see more unbalanced yet truthful reporting, you can go to our website, notenoughchampagne.com. You can go to our Twitter page, which is @nochampagnepod. My Twitter handle is PepperBatWriter.
Mine's @AcousticRadical.
James Cram designed our logo and Dave Depp is responsible for our theme tune. Plucky good times. Happy plotting, everyone.
Humphreys, if he lets the people he's interviewing get in a word in edgeways anyway and lets them answer the question, it's normally a
I know, he's always interrupting and it's really... Sorry.
Yeah, he is constantly interrupting. It is very annoying. And
he just doesn't let you finish a thought.
Stop it. Stop it now. And his general style is... very old.
It is quite fun to do, though, actually. If you could.
Please stop that now, seriously. That is fucking pissing me off. And edit most of that out.